My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Tomorrow, the QB tears. I'm releasing my QB tears on the show. In the print version, I will be leaving Deshaun Watson out. You have to listen to the show to figure out what tier I put Deshaun Watson in. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So.
Now, the QB tiers, if you remember, there's tier one, which I deem fourth quarter Kirk Cousins, which is elite. Tier two is 1 p.m. Kirk Cousins, which is franchise. By the way, that's where Deshaun Watson was last year, getting ready for 2023.
Ooh.
Tier three, leftover pot roast Kirk Cousins. These are placeholders slash journeymen. Baker Mayfield was in this category last year to start the season. Where will he be in the 2024 version? Tier 4, 4 p.m. Kirk Cousins. These are QBs on the bubble. It can go one way or the other. Last year, Kyler Murray was in this mix. Russell Wilson was in here. Sam Howell, Desmond Ridder, Trey Lance, Jordan Love. Ooh, Jordan Love was in this mix. Ooh.
Just signed a big contract.
Now, tier five, there is the fifth tier, gender reveal video pass Kirk Cousins, unknown or a rookie. How's that tickle your fancy?
Excited about it.
Last year, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Kenny Pickett, Stetson Bennett, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. Got a pretty good feeling Bryce. Where I know where, wow, I'm going to put CJ Stroud this year in my QB tiers, but that's going to be tomorrow.
And where's Kenny Pickett? To the Eagles now?
Is Kenny Pickett on the...
I think he's on the Eagles.
Yeah, but is he even on the tiers? That's the whole thing of this.
No.
I don't think he's even on the tiers this year. You got to be a starter, right?
I know where he is on Filippone's tier.
I don't... Who knows with that guy anymore? Now it's all Justin Fields, and who knows? Yeah, what are you going to do? That's him, not us. You had an argument last week that you couldn't get started and you were frustrated by it.
Well, the whole show, I couldn't believe it because I thought, all right, you know, sometimes you have an opinion and you feel like it's going to rile people up. It's an opinion that I've had. Like, I didn't love when the NFL went to 17 games. So if I didn't love that, you knew how I'd feel about them going to 18. So I jotted down while you were on vacation five reasons that I felt legitimate that I thought it was a bad idea for the NFL to go to 18 games. And then it seemed like I convinced the people that were on the show. So everybody agreed. And as, you know, I think some people understand about this format, this medium, if everybody just agrees, then it's not really a great topic to discuss on the radio. So I felt like, well, when Ken comes back, he'll want to crush me on this.
Because
there's no world where Ken Carmen wants less football.
I'm not just going to sit there and talk to you just to extend the segment.
No, I would never accuse you of that. I just assumed that if you have somebody in the room saying they want less football, that was going to be extremely offensive to your sensibilities.
Well, let's see where you go on this. You have five different, you had five things,
yep,
right?
Five reasons.
I didn't hear the segment last week. This was with Danny, correct?
Yep.
And he just agreed with you, and then everybody else in the room apparently agreed
with
you?
Well, I had already been there, and I actually might disagree a little bit now I've thought about it.
You want to tag team him. We could do that. That might be fun.
Of course.
Of course, you'll turn around and pull the chair on me, but that's okay.
Yeah,
makes it fun.
Third man in. What are you going to do? So what do you got?
So I said the quarterback injuries, because we got up to 2 years ago, it was 68. I think last year it was like 66. But it's way up from when there were 16 games. And so you can imagine what it's going to be like when we get to 18 games. Okay. We're going to be up near 80 quarterbacks and just a lot of games I won't watch with backups versus backups.
Because they're having preliminary talks about 18 games,
yes,
right? Is how this all goes. Okay, continue.
The next one was scarcity. How what the NFL has over everybody is that every game is life or death. The more games you add, stands to reason, those games are going to mean less. I had one that I had never thought about it before, but I have enough friends that lose money on gambling that I said, gamblers, said, why do casinos want to keep you in the casino?
I'll knock that right down.
Because they know the longer you gamble, the more money you will lose. Mm. The longer, more weeks you have to gamble on the NFL, the more money you will lose. So I'm trying to save money for people. The other one, load management, where whether it's teams or whether it's players, the more games you add to a season, they're just going to flake out on certain games. I'm not feeling great. And maybe the team will be okay with that. Like, yeah, why would we want them playing all these games? I know there are incentives and contracts, but, you know, that stuff is negotiated. Mm-hmm. And finally, I said, and I was thinking of guys like Nick Chubb, when you had 16 games and you moved to 18 games, that's two games a year. So over the course of eight seasons, you have a full season longer that these players are going to play. So just logically, while your favorite player might play the exact same amount of games, you'll have less years to get excited about them playing because of the wear and tear and what that's going to do to them. So those are my five reasons.
Okay. They're all good reasons. Well, except for one. The gamblers thing, I think you throw that one out the window. Gambling's supposed to be fun, and it's one more opportunity to have fun, to let it ride. I think it could be maddening because you're always ending it. See, I think this is different. You know, 18 games is 18 games, so it's always going to feel like you're adding at the end of the season, so it always feels like there's going to be so many more games that don't count. I could see a scenario. You look at what's going on right now in July. Could you see the NFL going, you know what? High school football starts in like the third week of April or August anymore. Do we want to start the NFL maybe last week August? Forget Labor Day.
I have wondered about that too.
Are they willing to do something like that? Because always Labor Day is like, all right, you've been through preseason. You get this nice little extra, like, okay. And then it's Tuesday, and we're getting ready for week one of the NFL season. It, like, hits you, and there's excitement for Thursday night and everything with the Browns going on Sunday and this, that, and the other. I don't think that matters. You know, but losing money or anything like that, it's up to you, right? I think it's another opportunity to have fun. So I marked that right off. You can't use gamblers as a reason to not have an extra game when they have another opportunity to gamble on something. Scarcity of games. Again, I go back to the whole schedule of it. It's still more actual football to get involved in. I do think, and this is what I'm learning a little bit from Hard Knocks, not training camp stuff, but the off-season stuff. People love fantasy football because they love to put teams together. I think it's been very interesting to see all the Joe Shane stuff and seeing how, because not a lot of us, we think we can coach football games. Not a lot of us can actually do it. There's a lot that goes into it. That's why the stats are so big. And that's not much fun to get into. But the off-season stuff's a big deal. I still think that we love to judge football games, because even though we might not think we can do it, we love to judge them. So they'll judge them. So that doesn't matter to me. That knocks it down. QB injuries. That's a hell of a point. I mean, you had 67 last year?
I think you had 64.
60, okay.
But you had more the year before.
Over 60 is a lot, yeah. Right? QB injuries. But I did say about what Lombardi said earlier today, and I know Lombardi's name is mud around these parts, but there are numbers that are showing that RPO is going down.
Yeah.
Are we trying to protect our quarterbacks more? Will quarterbacks be more protected with an 18-game schedule? So I don't know if you can use, it's been 2 years of sky-high QB injuries.
You have to
play
differently.
You are right. But I think you have to play differently. So I can't say that that's always going to be, it's another opportunity to get a quarterback hurt, yes. But I can't use that as a reasoning against 18 games.
Yeah, and just real quick, Ken, I want to get to the other ones.
Yeah.
I just, me personally, I'm not the same as you on this. Like, I'll watch more basketball games that don't mean anything, so you probably would think that's crazy. I am just not into December football for teams that are eliminated and or
well, that's why you have the unwatchable.
Have backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I just am not watching those games.
Do you already have a preseason one on the unwatchables yet?
I said the Raiders. That was a team I had on there.
Wow.
I wasn't that interested in the Raiders. Things could change. I'm sure the Houston Texans were on that list at some point last year.
As much as I've watched Hard Knocks, I think of the Giants.
Giants!
I'm like, I just don't believe in you guys at all.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you got Brian Burns, so what? You got one over there real quick?
For unwatchables?
Yeah. Unwatchable.
I was probably going to go Giants, too.
Wow.
That's fine.
Because the most interesting thing about them is what the front office is not doing, and you're getting to see that right now.
And they're making all these moves, and I'm like, I don't believe any of you are going to be here next year. Yeah. I really don't. I think you missed your window. But Joe Shane didn't draft Daniel Jones. Maybe they'll be in the market for Dak Prescott next year. I don't know. The other one's Nick Chubb. You mentioned Nick Chubb with less years. That's warranted, but they're not going to play that extra 18th game for free. So you're still going to make a game check based on that. Now, that might not matter in the long term when it comes to pension, but how many of these guys actually play long enough to draw a pension anyway? Actually, very few.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the grand scheme of thing that matters when you're thinking, well, if I play two more years, I'll get a pension. I think that they want their $52,000 or whatever it is for a game, depending on your contract. I think they want that right now. The load management thing, I save this for last. This is what I knock down and I say, you got to have an 18-game schedule. Because I think there's balance to 18 games. It's a nice even number that goes with it. You can finish 500. I think finishing 500 is very important to coaches. I think it's very important to staff. You've seen Rex Ryan kept the job with the Jets. They celebrated like they won the freaking Super Bowl when they went to 8-8 out of 7-8 because they knew they were keeping Rex the next year.
The second year of Stefanski, didn't they go 8-9? They went 8-9 1 year.
Yes.
And it was like, well, that's a bad year. If it would have been 8-8, we would have went. It wasn't playoffs, but it was.
Exactly.
Not losing record.
9-9, you're like, man, still won 9 games.
Yeah.
Like that's, I know over the course of time, 9 games won't mean as much, but 500, the difference between, and a lot of former guys will tell you, guys who got fired, if they would have won week 17 or week 18 in that matter. So I think that nice round number helps. When you bring up the load management.
Yeah, but if you're a fan, do you want that coach coming back if they've
struggled? That's the whole argument. That's what makes it fun. You might not give a damn about 500.
But you'd be a fan openly rooting against your team if you didn't want that coach coming back.
How many people have done that, including the guy sitting across the table from me?
I've done it many a times. I just admit it. So many people won't admit it.
I've never done it.
The only reason that I, in the hindsight, thinking about having an 18th game I'd be okay with, is when they added the extra team to the playoffs, that took the last week especially out of it, because I know you're still jockeying for position, but, I mean, last year the Browns were already locked in. They knew their seed. There are a few teams in the AFC that already knew where they were going to be. There was no reason to play it. With the extra game, it gives a team another week that they have to hold off the field.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, although I think it does hurt overall the amount of the way the game is played and the quarterbacks being out and all that and having to see 75 quarterbacks in a season, it does keep things more competitive for a week longer.
I got one more.
As long as we don't add a playoff team.
I got one more. And I buried this at the end for a very specific reason. I'm glad that Owen talked because I wanted to bury this at the end. I'm not going to let you call in and guess who it is. Tone, you know damn well load management's been going on when they had 16 games. There is a former Cleveland Brown that everybody loves that absolutely practiced load management.
Do not call in and guess
Do not call in and guess. I'm not going to tell you. Now, you might be able to tell from my reaction, but I'm not going to let you get through 216-474-0092. I'm not going to allow that to happen. For me, there is also the point where, are you just going to tap out your fans? Like, if you get to 20 games...
Well, this is where I want to get to.
What am I paying for?
My thought is that owners will always try to create more situations where they can make more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've wondered about pay-per-view, Super Bowl, pay-per-view, playoff games, AFC, NFC championship games. But another way they could just simply make more money is to just expand the schedule. And why would that hurt the owners? Because if a lot more fans are like you, and I believe they are, give me more football, more football, more football. Well, fans are clamoring more football. What is the incentive for them not to push for more football? Why wouldn't they? Why would they stop at 18 games? English Premier League's at 38 matches. It goes from August to May. There's like no downtime. Why not expand the schedule?
Have they recently made that schedule long?
That I don't know. But okay. Why wouldn't they continue to expand the NFL schedule if it means more money?
But I do.
It's not like the owners put themselves at more risk. They don't.
Well, no. I mean, TV deals, if you're going to make more money, you got to give them more. You got to give them more of a product. So with the TV deals, I understand that. But I do think, again, there's a law of diminished returns that somebody might just be going, hey, man, I can afford 9 home dates. I can afford this. I'm tapped out on 10. I'm tapped out on 11 if we're going to play 22 games a season.
Who is tapped
and
out?
I think the general fan might be. I think it costs a premium, I do wonder if there's a... I don't want to get...
Wait a second. I'm not even suggesting that they would do that locally. They would just move the games to Mexico, to Europe, to London.
All right, well, I think that
Scotland,
they can...
Scotland, Canada. They could just keep expanding.
I think they can do that and still stay under the 18-game umbrella. I think what the NFL wants to do, it's a TV revenue business. God, they made almost $13 billion last year, whatever it was, based on television and other income, which does partially, I guess, would include tickets, even though that I don't think that's revenue shared, obviously. So I think it gets to a point where you want to reach the fine line that Major League Baseball has crossed, that a lot of the NBA has crossed, where it's like, hey, man, you play so many games, there's going to be less return on investment. Like baseball, it's you got to be there. Now it's ratings, local ratings on all that stuff. You know, the NBA has dealt with that. Now, fortunately, Cleveland's been in a place where they've been in the upper third of attendance. Even in some of the down years, they've been pretty decent on attendance. I do think basketball works in this city. Baseball, we've gone around and around and around. And we're going to get to baseball here in a second with the whole trade scenarios that are going on. But I think of the football, I think they have the perfect mix. It is a holiday gift. It's a family outing, even though I know some fights break out in the men's room there, but it can be a family outing. It can be a family tradition. It only goes on once a week. I don't think you want to add too many of that where it starts to become, I got these tickets I can't get rid of. All right, I got to go down there. I got to park. I got to do all that stuff, which some people give you about baseball. And that's not just a Cleveland thing. That's everywhere. I still think, yeah, they can make more money. I think they want to make sure their stadiums are full, especially with how much that some of these teams are now helping to pay in the 50-50 split or 60-40 split or even a 100-0 split.
That COVID year scared me because they made a lot of money and they did not care that nobody was in those stadiums.
They did.
Which makes me think that they wouldn't care going forward.
But they also will tell you that they took a hit because the ticket prices and the tickets that they sell pay for a lot of the extras. And unfortunately, the tickets that they sell pay for a lot of people's jobs that we never hear of and never talk about. And that's something that none of us want. Trade deadline's here. 6 o'clock today. They got Lane Thomas. We already power ranked our lanes. He wasn't in the top three yet. Maybe he will by the end of the year. Do you demand more from the Cleveland Guardians? Do you demand another trade here before the end of the day? 216-474-0092. Is it something you demand? Anthony Lima, you first.
Yeah, I said that I figured they would make a couple of moves. I thought they'd get a pitcher and a hitter. They got a hitter. I certainly didn't say they were getting superstars.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Stars at the deadline, and how many teams have. Obviously, the Cardinals were able to strike and get the two guys. I think most Guardians fans, if they didn't know their names beforehand, and Tommy Pham and Fetty, like those were two players that you were told by Anthony Castrovince, by Zach Meisel, by Nightingale, by all these guys, hey, those are names you should pursue. So once that became the case, yeah, you were frustrated that the Cardinals got them. But have you seen superstars change hands? Not really, nor would I expect that to be the case. So I do expect them, and yeah, demand, fine. I demand them to go get another arm, but I think they will. I think they will probably trade either Manzardo or D. Lauder. I think they'll trade one of those guys today.
But when you say demand, I think you got to understand what demand means. I think demand's a very strong word. When you say demand, what if they don't make a move? You'll be disappointed, but yes. You're not an overreactor. So when you say demand, I don't think you're understanding what you're saying.
It's not going to ruin my rest of the year.
But I think when a person says demand, it ruins the rest of their year.
They're not going to go to any more games the rest of the year. They're not going to ruin the team.
I guarantee we will get calls of that.
We'll get calls about it. Were those people going to games to begin with?
More than likely, no. But I can only go by what they tell me on the radio. Now, can I?
I think yes, there will be an overreaction. You're right. People will call the Dolans cheap. I mean, they've been hearing that forever.
They've been doing it our entire life.
That's not going to change anything. But I think eventually you'll get around to supporting your team. You'll be excited. You'll hammer ownership. Some will hammer the front office because, you know, there has been this battle for years. Does the front office hold on to their prospects too long? You know, the flip side of that is, of course, that they have to hold on to their prospects because those are their shots. They're never going to be a big player in free agency. You know, that's just never been the DNA of what they do. Plus that costs them financially to such an extent that they have to manage those situations differently than most teams.
Well, when you say, again, when somebody says demand, I think that they have it in their head that if the Guardians don't make a trade today, and they play at 1 o'clock today, so it's a very interesting first pitch for a trade deadline day, because if someone gets scratched, obviously the antenna is going to go up for everybody. So hopefully Josh Naylor's nice and healthy, or we're going to have to deal with roller coaster from some folks again. We talked about that earlier in the show. When you say demand, though, I think that it gives off the negative connotation. If they don't make a trade, then people give up on the team. Now, they've already made one trade in Lane Thomas, and even though we had some fun with it, Jose Ramirez didn't necessarily know who Lane Thomas was, and I don't think the general populace really knew a lot about Lane Thomas. Seems to be a fine enough hitter. Somebody did give me a side-by-side of him and Will Brennan, but I don't have a lot of problems with Will Brennan, so we'll see how Lane Thomas works out. But I think pitching has always been the number one thing that people bring up. Well, here's a pitcher himself saying what the Lane Thomas trade does for the Cleveland Guardians.
Definitely does not hurt. I think it definitely uplifts us, and I think it helps us know that they think that we can go out there and win. And that's a crazy monkey off the back. I mean, I don't think a lot of people really know how much that kind of clears the mental a little bit, and kind of it definitely helps. It helps for sure.
So that's Tanner Bibee talking about it, who was great last night. He gave up 7 hits, scattered them across 6, and only gave up 2 earned runs, went 95 pitches. He's really been the workhorse for the Guardians while they try to get their stuff figured out when it comes to their starting rotation. I do know that this trade deadline, and hearing Anthony Castrovince with us yesterday, I don't think I'm in a position to demand. I'm in a position to hope. You brought up the Lauder. I got no problem with letting go of Chase the Lauder. I got no problem with letting go with most of these guys. But I know that Chris Antonetti knows a hell of a lot more about his farm system than I do, or anybody who calls in, or any guests that we have. Same thing with Chernoff. So if these guys know about these guys and they know where they're going, remember, like when we're getting calls or where we're getting social media posts about Josh Naylor, and we're, well, Josh only has one more year of arbitration, then he's a free agent. Ken, do you think that they're going to pay? Okay, well, I got to replace him with somebody. Can I trade for a first baseman who's a power hitter? Do I know how much that's going to cost me, for crying out loud? Or do I take a guy that has previously developed in my farm system and bring him up and maybe trade Josh Naylor next year or something like that? Like, these are real serious conversations that we have to have over a course of time. Now, I don't think there's any sense to trading Josh this year. You're way too ahead in the division. You're a competing team. I think it's a terrible message to send to everybody in God, and it's just terrible.
Yeah, that would be, I think, deflating to a lot of the people in that clubhouse, especially because his brother is still on the team.
Yes, but plus he's, yeah, I don't know how much of a leader he is or anything like that. Again, I don't know the guy. And it seems to be a clubhouse of likable guys. I'm a big fan of his, obviously. It would be bizarre to me. That's where I'll leave that there. That's why when the rumors came out over the weekend, I didn't understand it. But when we say demand, he can't just be a magician and make that happen. So if they come away without a pitcher out of this, I don't want to put lipstick on the pig and say, well, you know, Matt Boyd's coming up. Yeah, well, we already tried Spencer Howard out, and that was a total utter disaster where you wanted to go out there and hug him and bring him off the field.
Yeah.
I don't know how Matt Boyd's going to work
and
out there.
Logan Allen and Tristan McKenzie.
McKenzie's been a mess.
Both of them have been a mess, right?
So, yes, I'm concerned. I'm definitely concerned with that. But I know he can't force these teams to trade with him. And they know what they have when it comes to starting pitching.
Yeah, and Bob Nightingale about 20 minutes ago said the plan is right now for the Giants to keep Blake Snell, give their team a legitimate shot at the playoffs, or 4 games back of the wild card.
Is Jack Flaherty officially traded yet?
No.
I don't think he's officially traded. Could you get in on something like that? Because he was scratched yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Lloyd was on last week and said there's no chance that Detroit would trade him in the division.
He can get on the bus back home with the guys.
Why wouldn't they trade him in the division if I'm willing to give them so much out of my farm system?
I think they're that would depend. I mean, they
what
are...
What the hell does that matter?
Oh, if any on a well, that's always deal. Something that comes up in sports. Do you want to give a team in your division the ammo to, you know, to be potentially?
I mean, you're 13 games back of the division. You're 4 games under 500. You've already made a trade. You're not going anywhere. All right, you're not going anywhere. Jack Flaherty, correct me if I'm wrong, Mitch. Is Jack Flaherty on a 1-year deal?
I believe he is on 1 year.
Okay,
yes.
So what the hell does that have to do? Do I have faith that the Guardians are going to pay Jack Flaherty a whole hell of a lot of money to stay with the Guardians and ruin me for the next decade?
No, especially if he had a great close to the year and a great playoff run, they'd have no chance to keep him.
Okay, so no. Am I really afraid that the Guardians are going to sign him? So I could trade Jack Flaherty to a Guardians team that needs starting pitching, that hasn't won a World Series in 76 years, that knows that the Yankees are pounding away at the door, right? So I could do something like that. Now I'm starting to get worked up here. The Yankees are pounding away at the door. The Yankees are going to be a postseason team. Baltimore apparently is interested in Jack Flaherty. Is that not true, Mitch? Okay, so I got Baltimore and I got Cleveland, or Baltimore and the Yankees who are interested in this guy. Can I take farm players away from the Guardians and then give them a guy who, if he does do as well as we hope he's going to do, is going to price himself out of Cleveland?
By the way, VP of Baseball Analytics for the Tigers, Ryan Garko.
Oh, so you're saying he wants to stick it to the Guardians?
No. So I am not.
Now that's.
I am not expecting. I just feel like other teams. Like, could there be talk of an extension? You know, for Flaherty, that's something we can't offer, okay, right?
So yeah. That's. Well, I mean, depending on it, maybe it's reasonable. Probably not, but in our world, probably not reasonable. But maybe it is. But if he pitches really well. And we get to a deep postseason run. I can't guarantee a World Series, for crying out loud. But if you get to an ALCS or a World Series, I can't guarantee a win of it. But if I get to those levels, would it not be worth the trade, even if I have to let him go to put this team together? Maybe it's not. Maybe it has to be World Series or nothing. I made a point yesterday, you immediately called me out on it. It was glorious, because you went, I said, there are teams out there that I hate because I don't believe that they deserve to win their championship. And you go, what about the Cavs? And I go, yeah, there's definitely fan bases out there who hate us because they believe we don't deserve to win that championship. Like somebody was ripping on George Niang and Isaac Okoro, and people were like, this is why I don't like Cleveland NBA social media stuff. And this is why I don't like Cleveland fans, this, that, and the other. They don't appreciate, like, well, I do appreciate it. We all appreciate it. But there is a thought that for several fans out there, remember, Laker fans do not care for our organization after the whole Dan Gilbert thing. There are plenty of fans out there that don't believe we deserve to win our championship. Now, I'll take my championship and tell them to stick it.
Which, by the way, is,
no
a,
big deal.
Is a funny thing because the fans have literally nothing to do with its team's championships. It is kind of the funny dynamic in sports that we trash talk other cities and other fan bases of those cities when in reality they didn't work harder or we didn't work harder. Yeah. And we all have an element of the fan bases that we consider bad fans that
yes.
are either Johnny come latelys or bandwagon fans, not very loyal. They leave, they have other teams that they support,
but
Mitch in the booth.
Oh, that's totally different. I mean, he's from here. He's born and raised in Northeast Ohio. I don't know. You just fell through the cracks or something over there. Do you have anything to add to it, son?
I'd put the Marlins on the teams that I get mad at because they don't deserve their championships.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Like, I believe the Guardians, if we did it this way, would deserve a championship. I think the Bills of yesteryear obviously deserve a championship. I can't say that the Cowboys didn't deserve their titles. Or the 49ers didn't deserve their title, or any of the other.
You just mean you count against a team if they have like a 1 year crazy season.
And my biggest example, and any of their fans, if there are any out there, would tell me to stick it, and I would expect that, and I'm more than ready for it.
Marlins in '97, by the way.
But when I hear John Schriffen at NBC Sports Chicago speak about the up and comer Drew Thorpe.
The future is bright for Drew Thorpe. Gets another start on the mound here at home tonight.
Thorpe's command has been outstanding, and that changeup is pretty close to unhittable. So everything is positive. The arrow is pointing straight up, and Drew Thorpe is going to the mound tonight.
And then Sunday,
unhittable.
Thorpe goes out and gives up 3 home runs in the top of the first, and they have an 8-run top of the first, the Seattle Mariners do, and they now have 15 straight losses, and I go, I can't imagine being a White Sox fan in Chicago in a market like that where they can't even win the lottery because they're in too big of a market where people don't even, I mean, we've had our fun with Schriffen. I don't have anything against this guy. It seems that plenty of White Sox fans do. Like, they don't even enjoy the show. Like, when the Cubs were, when you and I were kids and we liked the Cubs because they were on in the afternoon before the Indians, right? They weren't that, I mean, they got better with Sammy Sosa, but they weren't that good. You just enjoyed the show with Harry Carey. So it's part of the fun. I can't even have that fun in Chicago to the point where their favorite in their generation, Ozzie Guillen, had this to say about trade deadlines.
Well, right now, it's just kind of, I thought of the trader because I don't know, for some reason, some players out there, they think they're going to get traded. They're like, no, a couple guys making...
they've made comments.
Comment about they want to say, who warned you? For real.
He's talking about Garrett Crochet being choosy about where he wants to go. And I go, damn it. They won a World Series in 2005. And I go, there's no better example of a team that, I'm sorry, they don't deserve it.
They're 38 and a half games back, by the way, right now, the White Sox.
The fans would tell me off, and I would expect them. I don't think the fans don't deserve it. Hell, the fans, if anything, they would deserve it. The organization, Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't deserve that. I mean, you say what you want to about the Dolans and you know, squeezing pennies and being, what did you say, cost sensitive, right? Yes. That's a nice way to put it. It's been a hell of a lot better organization than this in our own division. This is an insult to professional sports and certainly to professional baseball.
That's why I wonder, like, the World Series to those fans. Think about if you're a White Sox fan and you're second fiddle. Imagine being in a city where everybody around you cheers for a different team. In a way, I would think your World Series means more to you than anything else in the world.
Yes.
To those fans. Because they're like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And we'll probably never recreate
but
that.
I
got to talk trash until the Cubs won it in 2016. I got to talk trash to all my friends that made fun of me for being a White Sox fan every day.
Yes. And you could do that. And now you can't. And I see it. And I see it in a totally different perspective where I go, hey, man, if anybody really deserves it, like, that's why, you know, that's why Buster Olney, like, roots for the Guardians. Like, he openly, You could. I'm sorry, guys. You can openly. By the way, he's allowed to have emotions. I'm not going after Buster Olney. I don't like it when journalists just say, "I'm a journalist. I don't root for anybody." I go. You didn't root for anybody as a kid, really? You don't do that anymore. There's not organizations that you like a little bit more because you agree with what they're doing. I mean, come on. You can't all call it down the line. We all have influence. That's why I like that Buster Olney does seem to really like Cleveland.
The only thing that sucked about that whole World Series matchup, it was amazing in 2016, was that was the one team, the Cubs, that were standing in the way of the entire country rooting for us.
Yes.
Had it have been anybody else, everybody in the country would have been
Toronto rooting. Wasn't rooting for you, but that was a totally different set of circumstances.
But that was the only thing that sucked is you had so many Cubs. And Cubs just have a bigger fan base.
And I've never felt the same way about the Cubs again. And I've never really... I remember I saw a guy in a Braves jersey at the Guardians game a couple of weeks ago when they played San Diego on a Friday. And he said he couldn't bear to wear a Guardians jersey, so he wore a Braves jersey. And I'm thinking... doesn't make any sense. They beat us in the World Series. My aunt lived just outside of Atlanta. She used to send me Braves stuff. I watched the Braves on TBS. If the Indians weren't playing, and those were back in the days when we only had so many games on TV. I kind of liked the Braves growing up. 95 changed all that. Before the newspaper route, or during the newspaper route in the early days, I just told you, you'd get ready in the afternoon, go home, the Cubs would be on, you'd watch the Cubs. You're off during the summer, the Cubs be on at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock Eastern time, and you watch the Cubs, you couldn't help but like the Cubs. It was Harry Carey. That's fish in a barrel. I got shirtless Harry Carey. I got 6, 7, 8-year-old Kenny Carman. That's going to work out perfectly for me. And then 2016 changed it. There's teams that I wish it were different, but because they've been better ran than others, I wish it were different, but there they are. The White Sox, I got to tell you, Tone, I've never respected the White Sox. I like Frank Thomas as a kid. Never respected the White Sox. Never have. Never will. Because you're in a city where if you were in any other city, you'd be threatening to move. And they don't want you around there. The ones that actually like you hate you.
But do you care
what you've done to the organization?
Do you, in turn, then, do you care if other cities and their fans respect our teams?
To certain degrees, it makes me feel better. If they people outside of Cleveland. Look at the Guardians and go, that's a well-run organization.
Everybody, yeah.
It bothers me that we can't get over the hump with our well-run organization. It bothers me that luck has gotten involved, that Trevor Bauer was messing with a drone and that got involved maybe. It bothers me for every single reason that you could possibly bring up that we got as close as you possibly could and fate just didn't work out our way. That does bother me. Because for everything that we've said about Paul Dolan, I think the reason why we get so frustrated with the guy is that we have been close before. People haven't just given up on him the way they have with Reinsdorf and the White Sox. And, hey, they did win a World Series. That was 20 years ago almost now. And it doesn't look like they're any bit closer than they were 50 years ago. So I that's what I say when I say that teams deserve it. So when I think about the White Sox and I see that audio again courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago – when I hear that audio, and when they've lost 15 in a row, and you're not even talking about history when you say 15 in a row, because they've already had a losing streak that long already this year. I go, maybe we should be going all in. Because damn it, if anybody deserves it, I mean, I could say the fans all I want. Everybody knows how I feel about the fans here. That's not breaking any new ground. I go, you know what, maybe Antonetti and Shapiro, not Shapiro, excuse me, Chernoff, maybe they deserve it. But Paul Dolan's done the best job he can. He's under constraints. He's dealt with a lot of heat. I've given him a lot of heat as well. I've been pretty upset with him at times after the Lindor comment and other things like that. And maybe there's a deserving there. Maybe guys like Bob DiBiasio, maybe damn it, they deserve it if we want to get involved. And then there's obviously the baseball first fans that have been going to the games and sitting in the sections and the ones that know the ushers like the Derry brothers who know the ushers personally and give them gifts for birthday presents and things like that. You know what? Damn it, maybe they deserve it a little bit more. Instead of a hapless, worthless organization, let me underline worthless to the general fan, even though I'm sure it's worth a lot of money, the Chicago White Sox. That does frustrate me about baseball. And it does frustrate me in parts during the trade deadline. Because, we got to hold on to some of these guys so we don't overextend ourselves and end up with a terrible organization in a couple of years, a la the White Sox. But I also know I have an opportunity where I respect all these teams. I'm not afraid of them, though, Tone. I'm not... the Astros, maybe with a little bit of history. I'm not afraid of the Yankees. I'm not saying bring on the Yankees. Don't do that. I respect the Yankees. I respect the Orioles. I respect the Astros. I respect the Twins. I respect the Seattle Mariners. I think we can beat them all. Even as is.
I just didn't want to gloss over.
I would like to make it better.
Steve Stone saying that their pitcher's changeup was unhittable, and then he gave up 8 runs.
Whoopsie daisy!
In that kid's defense, I don't think any of the home runs were up on changeups.
Well, maybe should have stuck with the old changeroo.
Well, if you just throw nothing but changeup, that just becomes your fastball.
But if it's unhittable.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.